Before you hire anybody, you need to talk to a payroll company so they can help you understand the hiring process. Who's an independent contractor? Who's an employee? What you have to do? Do you have all your numbers? Do you know how to calculate these things? If not, we'll do it for you. We'll help you with it. We'll file them all. We'll deposit them all for you. We'll make sure you don't have any interest penalties. We're kind of like insurance. You have insurance on your house and your car. You hope you never need it. Well, we're insurance for your payroll. If the IRS screws up, we'll make sure it gets fixed.
Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the show where we dive deep into the stories and secrets of businesses focused on not just making money, but making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, and my passion is helping businesses grow that are making the world a better place. Every episode, you will hear from transformational leaders and business owners as we dive into what has helped them grow and what has helped them stay true to themselves along the way. Also, every week, we are hosting live conversations with our guests on Fireside Chat, where we give you, the audience, the opportunity to ask them your burning questions. So make sure to join us live on Fireside Chat on your mobile device. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. Today, we are going to be talking about some challenges, issues, things that small business owners often aren't thinking about because they're thinking so much about growing their business. They're thinking so much about serving their customers that we sometimes forget to think about things like payroll or like money or taxes or how those things work. And I can be the first in line to say that ignoring those issues don't make them go away. Ignorance is not bliss in the world of finances and taxes. And so to have this conversation, I'm really excited to have Charles Reed, the CEO of Get Payroll, on the show with us. Charles, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Seth. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation, learning a little bit more. Like I said, I've had my own moments in our business career over the last 8 years where we've just kind of said, you know, we'll get to that later. And getting to it later when it comes to whether it's payroll or figuring out taxes or properly structuring things, it usually ends up being more expensive. So tell me that I'm not alone. Is this common?
This is quite common, particularly with new entrepreneurs and new businesses, because they don't know what they don't know. And they make mistakes, not on purpose, but out of just ignorance of the systems that are in place, which are convoluted and hard to work with and hard to understand, but they're there and you're required to work with them whether you want to or not.
Right. Yeah, no, we started our business 2015, started with a business partner. He was overseeing the finances. I was kind of overseeing all the other stuff. Our business partnership ended about a year in. I bought him out. It was fine. It was just evident that it wasn't the right fit for him. So kind of just said, hey, if this isn't your deal long-term, then let's find what is. It's not doing a service to anybody. So he exited the business, which was totally fine. And then I realized that he did not know that payroll taxes needed to be paid quarterly. So he exited the business, and then I realized there was, you know, $20,000-$30,000 in taxes that was sitting there that all of a sudden I had to pay. So that was my first, that's my first memory when I think of payroll taxes.
That is, you are not alone.
Yeah.
That has happened over and over and over.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what are some of the things that business owners, particularly early business owners, what are some of the main things that they should be thinking about and paying attention to?
Sure. Well, the first thing you have to do is once you have your business entity in place and your choice of business entity, you ought to look at how it affects your payroll and your taxes, because that's important. Don't just choose it to choose it. Think about it and consult with an advisor. But on top of that, once you have your entity, then you have to go to the federal government and your state government, and possibly your local government, to get tax numbers. You have to register with the IRS. You have to get your EIN, your employer identification number. From the state you're in, most of them you have to get two numbers, one for unemployment and one for income tax withholding. Then you may be required to pay taxes to a local entity, depending upon where you're operating out of. If you're in New York City, Indianapolis, Aurora, Colorado, Pennsylvania, Ohio, there's local taxes, and they're all over the place, and they're expanding. So you have to find out, you have to get those numbers, get registered, and then learn what you have to file. You may have to file monthly, you may have to file quarterly, you may have to file annually, depending upon who you are, where you are, how big you are, how new you are. All those are variables. Obviously, in the payroll industry, you can talk to somebody like me, and we can advise you on all those things and tell you where to get your numbers and how to get them and how to get set up and what to file and when you have to file. Then, when you have payroll, you have to, first of all, decide whether you have employees or contractors. 70% of U.S. businesses misclassify workers, according to the U.S. Labor Department.
Which we'll come back to that, because that's a big question that I have. Okay. So let's come back to that in a little bit.
After you have that and you pay a payroll, you have to withhold taxes and pay taxes both. And you have to deposit those with the appropriate entity at the appropriate time. If you are 1 second late, there's a penalty. And it may be 5% of the deposit. And it goes up from there, along with interest. So you have to know when you deposit those and how much you have to deposit. Because you're withholding from your employees, and then you have employment taxes you have to pay simultaneously. Some you have to pay differently. It's a whole raft of, you've got to know what you need to know and when and how to pay these things. Then you have to file reports. And you don't necessarily file the reports with the deposits. It's a different system. It goes to a different place. The money goes where they can get it immediately. The paperwork goes in elsewhere. Some states require electronic filing. Some don't. The federal prefers electronic, but doesn't require it yet, unless you're too big. So you have to know when you have to file those, because if you file them late, there's a penalty as well, and interest on the penalty. So it's a whole lot of, you've got to know what you don't know, and these are the things you have to learn when you start out to make sure that your payroll taxes are properly calculated, properly deposited, and the paperwork is properly filed, all on a timely basis.
Well, and I know I made the mistake of thinking that because somebody else on my team was overseeing it, or because they were the finance person, that me as the business owner, I didn't need to be educated on all this. And, you know, I realized that, was it my fault that we hadn't paid those payroll taxes? No. But was it my responsibility? Absolutely. So that was something I learned. How do you see that play out with business owners? They're like, well, I don't want to learn about taxes.
You've got to, because here's another thing. Business, the owners that are operating in the business are called responsible parties. And if you are deemed a responsible party, and that may just be the person that signs the check, doesn't calculate it, doesn't file it, just signs the check or authorizes or can authorize the deposit of those taxes. If you can authorize the deposit of those taxes, the IRS will consider you a responsible party, and you are personally liable for all the taxes that were withheld from your employees and not deposited. And that's a liability that is not dischargeable in bankruptcy. The only way to get out of paying that is to survive 10 years of collection efforts of the IRS, because there is a 10-year collection statute. And at the end of 10 years, they can't try and collect it anymore. You still owe it. But they can't levy your bank accounts and seize your paychecks anymore. But for that 10 years, after it's assessed, not after it was due, but after it was assessed, which is a couple of years later, you've got another 10 years you have to live with it at a minimum.
Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, going through collections for 10 years is probably going to have a lot of other negative consequences that you don't want.
I've had clients that have ended up doing it because they've gotten caught up in things we had a restaurateur and then went belly up, and he owed $1.5 million in taxes, and he was paying $115 a week for 10 years and living on a shoestring, basically living off of his wife, who was his ex-wife, because she had to divorce him. Otherwise, they'd take her money, and it was a nightmare. I had another one that we finally, he was the front guy for a real estate partnership, went belly up. The two partners that were really running it, one had fled the country. The other was in federal prison. He was the only one they could find, and they went after him for everything. He was a Baptist minister. He was the front guy. And we finally settled $1.5 million for $15,000 of his father's right. money, because he didn't have anything and was never going to have anything. So the IRS took the $15,000 and wiped out the debt. But it cost him his business, his career, his wife, his kids. It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
I don't recommend
it. Yeah, it doesn't sound like something that we want to go through. So let's go back to the contractor versus employee conversation, because I know that's something that in our agency, as a podcasting agency and a marketing agency, we run into it a lot, because we operate kind of in what's called like the gig economy, where there's, I mean, now more than ever, there's creators all over the place. There's a lot of people, you know, over the last couple of years that they've wanted to, you know, they want to work part-time, they want to work at home. Situations that traditionally look a little bit different than your traditional full-time employment. So help us understand where some of the challenges are. And also you mentioned 70% of businesses misalign or misclassify employees and contractors. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, there's a whole body of law around what defines an independent contractor as opposed to an employee. You don't get to choose. You don't get to choose as the employer, and your worker doesn't get to choose whether he's an employee or an independent contractor. There's a whole body of law, and that body of law changes. March of last year, there was a new regulation that was going to go into effect that had been set up by the Trump administration. The day before it was going to go into effect, the Biden administration canceled it, and they're going to issue new regulations, which have not even gone out for comment yet. So we don't know when they're going to happen. It comes down in the base. There's 20 common law rules. That's the basis of what makes an independent contractor. It comes from English common law originally. And that is the base of what the courts use to define an independent contractor versus an employee. It comes down to control. It comes down to where the money flows. It comes down to risk. If the contractor has the risk of loss, then he is more likely a contractor. If he has no risk of loss, in other words, I'm an accountant. If I quote you a price of $500 to do a tax return, and I end up spending $1,000 for somebody to do it, that's my problem. I'm still only charging you $500. So I take the risk of loss. But if I'm going to do some work and you're going to pay me by the hour, then I have no risk of loss. So I'm more likely an employee. That's one thing. Do you tell me when to work? If you do, I'm more likely an employee. Can I substitute somebody else? Okay, I drive a truck for you. Can I have Charlie come and drive the truck for you? If I can, then I'm more likely an independent contractor. If I have to do the work personally, then I'm more likely an employee. As a CPA, I agree to do your tax return. I can have Sally over here do the tax return. I sign it and give it to you. That's my business. I'm responsible for it, but I had somebody else do the work. I'm more likely a contractor. So there's a whole body of law, and that's what determines it. Now, that doesn't mean you can't sometimes adjust how you treat people. In other words, instead of saying, Sue, I expect you at your computer at 9 a.m. and you're going to be there till 5. I know you're working from home, but you need to be there at 9 and you stay until 5. If you say, Sue, I need you there, most of the day. Well, that's different. So you can sometimes, by structuring the arrangement between you and the worker, control whether they're viewed as an independent contractor mm-hmm. or an employee. Now, if you're not sure, you can fill out an SS8 and send it to the IRS and list all the responsibilities and duties. And the IRS will come back and tell you whether they're an independent contractor or an employee. There's two downsides to that. First of all, the IRS is very likely to tell you they're an employee, whether or not right. the court would agree. And second of all, once you've done that and asked the IRS,
yeah, you can't. That's the conversation. Yeah,
you there was a undo it. Yeah. They said, you asked us, we told you.
All right. Yeah, there's
it's done.
Yeah, it's the conversation of, do you want the IRS? I mean, they know your name, but do you want them to know that you're wondering that question or do you not? Because if they answer yes, it's an employee, then that means probably some more revenue for the IRS.
Absolutely. Well, more money flowing to it. Understand that 75% of all federal revenue flows through payroll. Payroll taxes and employment taxes and withholding taxes all flow through payroll systems. That's 75%, or roughly $3 trillion, goes to the federal government through payroll systems. So when they want to manipulate revenue, they manipulate payroll.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. So what happens, and how could companies be caught in this? You know, not that there's, I don't think there's a lot of companies that are intentionally calling people contractors as opposed to employees, but I think there's a lot of ignorance and a lot of people don't know what they don't know. And so how would that be identified that all of a sudden, I'm in the wrong spot?
Sure. One of the things that happens quite often is you've got somebody that you're paying a check to and you're calling him an independent contractor, but he's working for you. So situation changes and you lay him off, you fire him, he quits, whatever. And he goes down to the unemployment department and files for unemployment. He tells you, I work for, Joe Blow. They look up Joe Blow's account and says, you're not there. You don't have any wages reported from Joe Blow Inc. The guy says, well, I work for him. You know what's the next thing that happens? They send an auditor out to Joe Blow and want to look at all your records. Okay. And then they decide, oh, this guy who came down really is an employee. Well, you should have withheld all these taxes and paid all these taxes. They're now late and unfiled. So here's the taxes. Here's the penalties. Here's the interest. Mm-hmm. Write me a check right now. What do you do? Well, now you've paid half of that taxes. You've paid to the employee, right. The contractor. You don't get to get them back from him unless you go sue him in court. And he's probably right. not going to have the money to pay you. So you're going to have to end up paying those taxes again, plus penalties and interest. So it only takes one disgruntled person. I've had this happen. Wife writes a letter, said, hey, they're forcing my husband to be an independent contractor. I know he should be an employee. You know what's the next thing that happens?
Contractor gets...
You get a letter from the auditor saying, right. I'm going to come out and see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, probably now after that independent contractor gets mysteriously replaced.
If you know, they won't tell you that Joe's wife sent a letter. They just come out and audit you.
And they'll backtax. You mentioned this, but I want to be clear. They'll backtax. They'll say, if you've been employed, if you've had Joe Blow as a contractor for the last year and he should have been an employee, then you should have been paying payroll taxes for the last year, right?
For the last 10 years.
Is it the last 10 or however long he's been? Okay.
However long. It could be 10. It could be 20 years. It could be everything. Now, if it's been forever, they'll probably settle for 4 years or 6 years of taxes and let the rest go, provided you agree to toe the line from then on. They're not going to. They don't really want to put you out of business. They just want to collect taxes. They'll put you out of business if they have to. And one of the things to deal with the IRS, If you're going deeper into the hole in taxes, they will shut you down. If you've hit bottom and are climbing out when they find you, you can work with them and they'll work with you if you're climbing out of that hole. But if you're not, if that hole is just going to get deeper, they will shut you down. They don't have any qualms about doing that. Your livelihood, your career, your business, if you're going deeper in the hole, is of no consequence to them, and they don't care.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, understand, the IRS is 100,000 people. These are fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters. They're people. And most of them are nice people. I've worked with them for more than 30 years. I was on the IRS Advisory Council. I was up in D.C. I met with numerous of them. The new commissioner, I had lunch with him several times. I met with all the deputy commissioners and the commissioners of the various entities and a lot of people. And for the most part, they're good people. But most of the people at the IRS you talk to, if you're nice to them, they'll be nice to you. Right. And so there's the occasional one. I mean, you know, no matter where you go, there's always the occasional one. Mm-hmm. But I recommend to my clients that they don't talk to the IRS. And this got brought home to me very, very thoroughly last year because the IRS screwed up on my taxes. They made a mistake, as they make millions of them. So being the expert I am, I called up the revenue officer and was explaining to him how they'd screwed up. He didn't care. I said, well, no, wait, under IRS regulations and under the IRS manual that you're required to do, you need to do this, this, and this. And he said, no. And my voice starts to get a little more animated. The volume rises. And I find myself starting to yell at the guy over the phone. In the back of my head, I'm going, Charles, don't do this. It's not a good idea. It's not going to help. But I find myself screaming at this SOB because he's not following the rules. And so he got upset with me, and he did more nasty stuff that he shouldn't do. It took me about 3 weeks, this is in the middle of COVID, to get a hold of his supervisor, who said, oh, Mr. Reed, no, 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 that shouldn't happen. We'll delete all that, and that all goes away. You're fine. No problems. Mm. But I know who to call, and I knew how to move that up the line and how to appeal that and talk to his supervisor and the next one, file the hearings. I became a U.S. tax court practitioner, so I can always file a petition with tax court for my clients and get a whole new bite at the apple. There's a few hundred of us in the country that can do that. I don't know of any that work for payroll companies, but it allows me to work with the tax court even though I'm not an attorney. So I tell my clients, don't talk to the IRS. Let me talk to them because, you know, it's not my money. I won't get upset with them.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, and all this gets to the point where it's just, this is complicated. There's a lot of moving parts. And so should this be something that people are trying to do on their own and trying to remember when to file things, or where in a business's journey is the right time, in your opinion, to actually work with somebody like your company that's going to help with a lot of those details? And again, it's not that all of a sudden the responsibility is off of me and I don't have to be educated, but where there's support. And when is the right time for that?
Day one. Before you hire anybody, you need to talk to a payroll company so they can help you understand the hiring process. Who's an independent contractor? Who's an employee? What you have to do? Do you have all your numbers? Do you know how to calculate these things? If not, we'll do it for you. We'll help you with it. We'll file them all. We'll deposit them all for you. We'll make sure you don't have any interest or penalties. We're kind of like insurance. You have insurance on your house and your car, you hope you never need it. Well, we're insurance for your payroll. If the IRS screws up, we'll make sure it gets fixed. That's what we do. So starting day one, you need a banker, you need an attorney, you need an insurance agent, you need an accountant / payroll provider to help you with your business. So start day one, because you want to get it started right. Because the IRS doesn't care. If you didn't start it right, they're going to come back and force you to redo it. And it's going to be very expensive.
Yeah. How much does it usually cost? And you know, you don't have to go all the way into all of your stuff and packages and different things. But like a lot of our listeners, they really are small businesses. So they're trying to think of how much does this cost?
Can I afford it? For everything. Okay. If you're just one person and you pay yourself monthly, it's well under $500. I don't know exactly. It depends on a lot of things. The more people and the more often you pay, the more expensive it is because the more we have to do. But this is not a core part of your business. Yeah, you have to do it and you have to be in compliance. You don't have a choice, but it's not your business. It's not what you do for a living. It's something you should outsource. I don't make my own clothes. I don't work on my own car anymore. I don't mow my own lawn. I'd rather do a tax return than mow a lawn. So, you know, I can make more money and pay the lawn guy and still have money left over. So it's not a core competency. The analogy I use is when I grew up, Pele was the world's best soccer player. Maybe the best soccer player of all time. Great athlete, still alive. But if you put him in a New York Yankees uniform and stick him at second base, he's lost. He doesn't know the game, the rules, the equipment. Pick up a ball with your hands. That's not what you do as a soccer player. So you have a businessman. He's a marketer. He is a chef. He's a mechanic. He's a manufacturer. He's an artist. He's a lawyer. He's a doctor. Now you tell him, you handle payroll and deal with the IRS.
Right.
He's Pele at second base. He's absolutely lost. He's great at what he does. He's successful. He makes a living at it. His clients love him. The IRS will chew him up and spit him out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's good for people to realize, again, like the details. I feel like it's so often all of the details of finances, that's going to take a lot of people away from the strategic work, especially as a business owner that you should be focusing on. And that was a big revelation for me is the more support that I got in finances and in hiring an accountant and different things like this, the more that I was able to not have that stress of just undealt with matters or not knowing if I'm covering everything. And then I was able to spend that mental energy I gained back on actually growing the business, on actually focusing on my people.
Absolutely. Spend your time on the things that, you know, first rule of business time management. Only do what only you can do.
Right.
So spend your time on those things that only you can do and hire people or outsource those non-core things that other people can do. Because there's always things that only you can do that you need to get to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you talk a lot about this in your recent book. Tell us about your book. Tell us about who should get it. Where should they get it? Why should they get it?
The Payroll Book, a guide for small businesses and startups. Exactly the kind of people we're talking about. There was nothing out there. So I said, you know, I'll write something. It took 2 years. It's 95,000 words that distills 30 years of wisdom into the book. It's available at Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble and other fine bookstores. But, Seth, for your listeners, if they would like a copy, and frankly, I think every small businessman should have a copy. It sits up on there as a reference book, but you have it when you need it. It also has links to lots of things, including us, and updates online. For your listeners, if they would like a copy, if they will go to thepayrollbook.com and enter the discount code podcast, we'll ship them a free book, free of charge, no shipping, no handling, as long as supplies last. So if they'd like one, if they'd like a copy of the payroll book, you know, we wrote the book on payroll, okay? If they'd like a copy of the payroll book, they go to thepayrollbook.com, enter the discount code podcast, we'll ship one for free.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Charles Reed, and to all of our listeners. I encourage you to go get the book. Mine's on the way. I'll read the book, even though this is something that I've continued to learn more about. For me as a business owner, I realized that being educated in finances, being educated in taxes, even if I have other people doing most of the work, it's still our responsibility as business owners to know what's going on. And books like this will help us to do that. So head over to the book. Did you say it's payrollbook.com?
Thepayrollbook.com.
Thepayrollbook.com. We'll have that linked in the show notes. use the code podcast and get it totally for free. So I haven't read it yet, but I've looked through all of your guys' resources. But for my personal story, I can absolutely say that being more educated on payroll and on taxes, it will literally save you thousands of dollars. So reading through this free book will be very valuable. So Charles, this has been really great. Thank you so much for highlighting some of the things that we need to be thinking about as small business owners when it comes to payroll.
Seth, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to the Small Business Storytellers. If you've wanted to start a podcast and have been wondering if you can use podcasting to grow your business, but don't know where to start, I'd love to talk. Head to successwithstories.com/podcast to learn exactly how to launch, grow, and profit from a podcast for your business. Again, that is successwithstories.com/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this episode, share it with someone you know who would also like it. If you want to be a guest on the podcast or know someone who would be a great guest on the show, let me know. Thank you, and we will see you next time on the Small Business Storytellers.